Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank You this morning for Your presence, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You are always with us. But Lord, thank You, Lord, when we sense, when we can actually feel Your presence. Lord, thank You for those times. Father, we honor You this morning. We give You praise and glory for all things. We thank You, of Your people all over the world. We thank You for that, Father. We praise You for it. Father, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, God, in earth and in us as it is in heaven, Father. Your will, Father. What You have desired, Father. Hallelujah. What You have desired, Father. What You have desired, Father, that is Your plan, Your purpose. That's what You have framed. That's what You have decided upon even before the worlds were made. Father, we thank You for that, so Lord. We thank You for what You're about to do, not only in our midst, but in the midst of those that call upon You out of a pure heart, those that know You, those that bow their knee to You, Father God, to honor You, daily waiting at Your gates, daily waiting to hear a word from You, daily, Father, we thank You for what You are about to do. In Jesus' name we pray this morning, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, we love You. Holy Spirit, we love You. Amen. Praise God. Come on, man. Come on, somebody. I mean, hey, we love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many love Jesus this morning? How many are glad for what He's done for you? Hallelujah. Are you glad? Is He worth just standing up for a minute and saying, yeah, we thank You, Father. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Is it worth it to You? I'll tell you, it's worth it to Him for His children to say, God, we thank You. We're going to give You one more thanks this morning. God, we thank You for what You've done. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Haven't been here for 2 weeks. I haven't been behind this thing for 2 weeks. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Glory to God. Come on. My wife is back there. She says, she's tired of me preaching at home, she says. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's doing some great things. I want to get Rebecca and Oscar, and I'd like to get Abe and McKay also up here, if I could. Please. Hallelujah. And I know that some of them might have run off. Hallelujah. Hey, Pastor, appreciation. And just so you, I mean, I just want to make sure that y'all know that we need to appreciate our youth pastors and our worship pastor. And so I just want to pray for them real quick also. And, you know, because they are a very important part of this. Amen. How many say amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Just say amen. Yeah. Can you say amen? So I'm going to pray. If you would stretch your hands for Pastor John, Pastor Pat, can you come up here and just let's pray for these young folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastors. Oh, man. I read a book the other day from Mrs. Shirley Daniels. I can't tell you about it, but oh, my goodness. Made me cry. Thank You, Lord. Father, lay hands on. Father, we thank You, Father. Stretch your hand towards these young men, young ladies. Father, we ask You, Lord, that You would continue to bless, continue to minister. Father God, not only Father God, to these that are standing here, but also young Ben that's in the womb. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your anointing upon these, Father God, for the house, for their house, for the city, for the state, for the country, and for the world, Father. Let that anointing be a continual flow in their lives, Father. We thank you for it. Father, Rebecca and Oscar, God, we ask that you would touch many with song, with anointing. With Abe and Micaiah, Father, we ask that, Lord, that you would touch many teenagers. That you would, Father God, bring those that you have ordained to be under their anointing, to be under their care. Father, we thank you for those that have been under their care and they've gone on. That your anointing would remain upon them because of the glory of God. Because of what you're doing in the earth today, Father. We thank you for it and we praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, thank you for your work, you guys. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get a chance, give them a piece of cake. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. Give them a piece of cake and thank them for what they do. Glory to God. Thanks, babe. Glory to God. If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm sorry. Don't even know where I'm going to start. Glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 6. Hallelujah. I like the scriptures. Psalm 110 says, from the womb of the morning. Hallelujah. From the womb of the morning, your people shall be willing and... The womb of the morning is very, very early. How many know that? Very early. Think light might be just getting ready to break forth. And this is the time where I think a lot of us... take advantage of the womb of the morning for God to come to you and speak to you. You know, present yourself if you can, because I am finding, and maybe it's, I don't think it's just because I'm a pastor. I think it's because it's where God meets with his people. You know, the Bible says that we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Is that right? So from the womb of the morning, is that right? Is that right, Terry? Come on, brother. From the womb of the morning, go after God. And then go after him every other hour of the day. How many know that? Come on. Amen. Just keep an ongoing walk with God. Because I'll tell you, God wants to do that. He loves you and he cares about you. And he will walk with you in the cool of the day, in the heat of the day. He'll walk with you wherever you go. Because he says already, I will never leave you and never forsake you. I am with you. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? So, it's a great thing. It's a great thing what God is doing. So he calls us. And so from the womb of the morning, this morning I was up studying, saying, God, what is it? What do you want to say? I got an idea what you're wanting to say, but I just need to know. I hate doing things on my own. I won't do it on my own. If I don't have a message, I was just going to sit and we're going to worship God and say, okay, go home. Find out from God what he has for you today. Because he didn't give me anything for you. Maybe that might be a good thing too. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Peanut? Come on, man. I've seen it, huh? He's talked to people. Come on, man. That's it, man. And the Holy Spirit did the work. Amen? Come on. This is not Henry's work, not Henry Patson and John's work, not Rosie's work. Come on. Everybody say amen. Yeah. No, just kidding. This is a work of the Lord. It is up to him what happens in this church, how we're what direction we take. It's up to him. And I would ask every one of you, continue praying with us, that we might have the wisdom and the understanding and the spiritual insight to say, hey, man, this is the direction where we know God is walking us down. Hallelujah. I believe we're in a good place right now. I do. I believe that God has brought us to where we're at. And he's taken us. Every step has been ordered and ordained for us. And so praise God. Go after God early in the morning. Because he will speak to you. He does love you. He cares for you. And you'll see. You'll see him doing things that you never expected. Because he is. How many know God's not lazy? How many know that? How many know that he's not? I mean, he's just not in his recliner, in his lazy boy. No, man. God is on the move. He's moving. Is that right? And come on. And I love moving with God. How many of you? I just got to say, God loves every one of you. I got to say that this morning. I feel God is saying, hey, God is saying, I love you. Do you know that? Do you realize that? You know, look at your neighbor and tell him, hey, God loves you. God loves you. He died on a cross for you. The reality of what that is, we really can't get that concept. But I'll tell you, if you were in front of that bloody cross, boy, you'd get it. God loves us. He died for us. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Praise God. If you will, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would lead and guide my lips and my heart, Lord, into the things that you desire to say to your people. Father, I know you've given me great things. I know, Father, that you've given me things. Father, to speak them before your people and to honor you and honor them, Father, lead me this morning, Holy Spirit. Let me say the things that are honorable to your people. Let me say the things that will build them and not hurt them, that will strengthen them and not tear them down. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the son of the prophet said to Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. How many like live in small spaces? Anybody? I mean, oh man. Sometimes you have to, amen? Hallelujah. And I'm, you know, this is a pretty good sized space right here. But, you know, look around. I mean, we've got some chairs, people missing, but there's also a lot of people that come to this church that aren't here. Is that right? How many look around and say, do you see anybody that usually is here? Make sure you tell them, hey, we missed you. I'm just kidding. I'm going to tell you, I feel like we are running out of space. There's something, and I've got an urgency in my spirit. And what I like about these guys, they're saying, hey, man, this place is too small. We need to build another one. Is that okay? How many of you know we need to build? I want to thank people that have been helping us, man, and back in the back and up front, ladies, for cleaning, because we make messes. We carry dirt and sawdust all over the church, man. So I just want to thank everybody that's helping to do those things. We are doing things. I believe in the next week or two, or we're going to have some stuff up for you guys to look at, some plans that we got that we're, isn't that right, Dan? Soon. Things that, so you can look at, you can pray. We'll give you a packet so you can take home, all right? Isn't that right, Pastor John, Pastor Pat? We're going to give you a packet so you can take home and pray. I say, God, we're asking. Come on, brother. I was talking to a brother, and he was telling me that he goes, hey, man, he goes, we are praying for harvest investors in our church. And they are people that know what God is doing. They are people that sense the move of God. They are people that God is speaking to their hearts, and they have the desire to invest into the kingdom. How many say amen to that? How many, can I tell you that any way that you can invest into the kingdom, that I would say the best way that you can invest in the kingdom is pray and believe God for what he says.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Finances are, who cares about finances? Well, you say, come on, Pastor. You know, you got to care about finances. Well, you know what? My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My father has street sweepers that sweep gold off their streets. Falls off the streets and lands on the earth, and we fight over it. Isn't that weird? Can you see the street sweepers in heaven? Them
guys? To heck. Hey, man. Pray and believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just do that. Amen. So he says, the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, under the Jordan, and take from there every man a beam. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Go ahead, bro. And then one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and so they came to Jordan, and they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there. And the iron did what? What's that word? Swim. And the iron, that the head of that axe. You know how many know when you're, well, some when you're cutting down a tree, you got to be putting some weight into that thing. Is that right? The axe needs to be sharp, and then the feller that's doing the cutting has got to be put some weight in it. Well, here they're next to the Jordan River, and he goes to swing, and the head flies off. What do you think of that? Poor maintenance on their tools, isn't that right? Come on, man, that head flies out and goes right out into the river. And he goes, I borrowed that thing. How many have ever been in that situation? You ever borrowed something from somebody and broke it? I go, oh, guess who's buying a new one? And so he, I borrowed that thing. And so he says, well, where did it fall? And Elisha went and got a stick, and he tossed it out in the Jordan. And the word of God says, isn't that right? The Bible says that. How many believe this? How many believe the story? I believe it, man. God's word says it. That piece of iron, whoop, right up to the top. And then generally in a river, if it's any good-sized river, it's going to go and then take off. Is that right? But apparently where they were standing, it came over close to them, where the prophet told them, go ahead and grab it, man. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything defying everything. Is that right? Is that right? Because God is great. How many, do you know that in Psalm 103, the Bible says the kingdom of God rules over all? Is that right? Do you know that? This might sound kind of weird, but my wife and I look at each other, and every morning we say this, you have the dew of your youth upon you, because the word of God says it. Do you know that? The word of God says that we have the dew of our youth upon us. How many of you like that? Do you enjoy that? And see, I get up every morning and tell my wife, you have the dew of your youth upon you. And we agree with that. Well, I got up one morning, said that to her, and I went into the restroom, looked in the mirror, and there's old Henry. I go, yeah, God, but I think I got gravity against me. It looks like I got gravity working against me here. How many know that? Been thinking of getting one of those things where it picks you up, you know, pulls you back and all that other stuff. Gives you a permanent smile. Even when you're mad, you're smiling. Come on, man. And I said, I got gravity against me. But it was funny because I was on my way to work. And when I was driving, the Lord began to speak to me. And he said a few things to me. He said, Henry, do you remember when the axe head fell into the water? I said, yes. Yeah. Do you remember how Elijah made it to heaven? Elijah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Henry, do you remember that when I came, right after I died, they call it the ascension. He went up on a mountain with his disciples, and right there in front of them, just took off. Do you guys remember that? It's in scriptures. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you remember Philip was transported to go speak to an Ethiopian eunuch? Do you remember that? Come on. These are laws of our planet.
that are being defied by the kingdom of God. Come on, man. That's got to settle in there somewhere in you, man. You got to go, oh, yeah, this is good. See, this is the God we serve. This is who he is. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that God can do absolutely anything he wants to do? And if he wants a head of an axe to break out and start swimming, that's what it says. It says he swam. That's who our God is. Amen. Praise God. How many of you guys, learned to swim? I mean, got swimming lessons. Raise your hand real quick. Swimming lessons. Woo, not very many of you. How many never got swimming lessons? Yeah, whoo, man. If you never got swimming lessons, sometimes it can be a little hard on you. Is that right? Yeah. I remember when I was a little man. It had to be in the 60s sometime. I don't even know who took us there. I just don't remember. But I do remember getting in that water. It was at the YMCA in Bisbee. We called it the Y, everyone. And it had a pool down on the bottom. And so I remember getting in that water and, man, just along the edge. How many of you guys know that? Know what I'm talking about? I just hugged the edge the whole time. Got kind of out where it was deeper. Probably maybe, might have, I don't know how tall it might have been. Maybe in the 4 foot zone somewhere else. But I kind of got away and on my tiptoes, my nose up, and I tipped it out as far as I can. And then somebody would jump in the water and I feel it pushing on me and I grabbed for the edge. It was just crazy. And I was learning. Nobody was teaching me how to swim. Nobody was there to say, hey, this is what you got to do. Hold your breath. I mean, none of that stuff. Well, I'm walking along the edge. You had to go by the deep end to get into the out into the shower. Isn't that right, Ruben? I don't know if you remember. I know Rosie should remember. But you had to go walk by the deep end. Well, I'm walking by the deep end, and I don't even know who it was. Ran over and pushed me in. I'm choking. The title of this sermon is called Sink or Swim. How many of you say amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, sink or swim. Time to begin. Sink or swim, it's time to begin. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Obviously, I didn't die. Obviously, I didn't drown. Hallelujah. I didn't learn how to swim. I never went back. I ended up learning how to swim with Reuben and some of my friends. We went to these dirty old ponds called St. David. It was called St. David Lakes. And that's where we learned to, that's where I kind of learned to get around in water a little bit. But I never have really learned to swim well. I'm not a real championship type of swimmer. I jump in. If I had to tread water very long, I'd be sinking. Hallelujah. How many love to swim? How many are thinking right now, yeah, I'm going to go home and swim right now? You know, Brother Steve's got a nice pool. Where's Steve at? Come on, man. Sink or swim. Let's look at another time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Familiar story. Starting at verse 22. Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. How many believe that? How many believe that Jesus walked on the water? I mean, if you believe it, raise your hand. I mean, you're going to have to, because that's what the Word of God says. And I believe what it says. I believe this. I believe that Jesus was who he said he was. I believe that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on. And Jesus walked out to them and says, fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus said to them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Just think about what's happening. These guys are on a ship. The wind is blowing like crazy. The wind is causing waves to come up. These guys are fishermen. And they've been toiling. They've been trying to get the boat to get across to the other side. Stuck in the middle of it because the wind is keeping them in the center of the lake. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And he says to them, don't be afraid. It's me. What's wrong with this picture? Hey, Jesus is walking on the water. You don't hear the disciples looking at each other. He's walking on the water. Hey, he's taking steps out there. He's riding the waves, taking another step, right? These guys are in the boat watching him. And then Peter speaks up. Here's what Peter says. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was coming down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Everybody say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. These guys were convinced this was the Son of God. Is that right? Why? Because he was walking on the water? Could be. Was Jesus showing off? Was Jesus a show off? Yeah, I don't think he was at all. Jesus was showing them something. But what kind of a person would look at somebody that's walking on water, knowing that you can't walk on water, that would say, hey, call me to you? What kind of mindset is that? Folks, can I tell you, that's a different mindset, isn't it? Could that be a kingdom mindset and he not even realize it? It could be a kingdom mindset that he began to operate in right then. He goes, hey, you're on the water? I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. Let me walk with you. See, there's a kingdom mindset that we have to connect with. That is, that it doesn't do the same things that we know the natural laws of this earth does. Is that right? Are you okay with that? Because that's the God we serve. We talked about that earlier. He does things that we never expected. Isn't that cool? I like serving my God. I think it's exciting, if you ask me. Hallelujah. What kind of a mindset? Hey, let me come to you. I mean, don't forget, the boat's rocking. Jesus is walking. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Walking towards the boat, man. And the boat's a rock. And then Peter says, I want to do that. I want to be like Jesus. How many want to be like Jesus? Yes. Come on, man. That's got to be something in your heart. I want to be like that. Woo, look at that. God, Lord. And you know what I like about Peter? He said, Lord, if that's you, call me. Peter waited. And Jesus said, yeah, come on. Come. Peter gets out of the boat. Can you imagine him getting pulled out of that boat? He's got a hold of it. And testing the water. Can you imagine Peter doing that? I can. I'm not supposed to walk on this thing. How many know you're not supposed to walk on water? Is that right? Go home, walk in your pool. Put on your best clothes. Hallelujah. I'm gonna just put something in your head. But if he did, it doesn't mean that you can't. Because he dwells in you. Is that right? next time you see somebody drowning, don't jump in and swim to them. Run out there and pick them up. Come on. That's different, isn't it? That is different, but come on. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. And who you are, we're talking about. Christ lives in you. The same thing that he does, he didn't do that to show off. He does that because he lives in you. And he says, this is the original intent of the man that God had created to dwell on the earth. Isn't that cool? That's cool. That's a mindset you got to get connected with. Is that right? How many say amen? It's hard to believe. Some of these things are hard to fathom. But guess nonetheless, they're in there for a reason, to teach us and to lead us and to guide us into these things. And that's cool. I like what Jesus tells him. Why did you doubt? Can I tell you that the heart can believe God and hold to the things of God, and no matter what's happening, it will stand. How many know, say amen to that? It's your mind that goes nuts on you, is that right? How many say amen? If I could get this thing in gear with the kingdom of God, man, it would be so much better. Amen? How many say amen to that? But I'm going to say God's working to get you in gear. How do you say that? Is that okay? He's working to get your mindset in gear to what he has for you. Hallelujah. And Jesus tells her, why did you doubt? I don't know how many steps he took. I don't know how far away Jesus was from the boat. Might have been a little ways, because they couldn't quite recognize him. But when he spoke, he said, don't be afraid, it's me. So I don't know how far that might have been. It was dark. Probably didn't have any lights. Peter gets out, and the Bible says that he walked on the water. Is that correct? Can I tell you something? Peter was already walking miraculously. He should have enjoyed it. How many say amen to that? You're already walking. I said, Peter. You're already walking in the impossible. You've already stepped into the impossible. Just keep walking. If you want, run over there and run over there. But the Bible says he began to look around. And he began to be influenced by what was going on around him. Is that right? Took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look around. And can I tell you something? We do the same thing. How many know that? Right. We do the same thing. Can I tell you that you're already walking in the impossible? Do you know that? Yeah. Listen to this. Listen. You're already walking in the impossible. Salvation is a miracle. How many know that? Yeah. How many know it's a miracle? You can't save yourself. Is that right? You're already walking in a miracle. Just keep walking. Amen? Hallelujah. You've already been given a position. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a king and a priest for the kingdom of God. Do you know that? You've already been given a position. You are already walking in the impossible. Don't count yourself short. God has done a work in you. Allow him to continue to do that. You've been given righteousness. Is that cool? That's a miracle in itself. You guys can tell me, you? Look at me like that. You? You're righteous? Yeah, you're righteous. He has given you righteousness. The Bible says this, that he died for the unjust. Our sins were placed upon him so that his righteousness could be transferred back to us. You are walking in righteousness. Do you know that? Do you understand that? You're already walking in the impossible. So believe for the impossible. Since you're walking in it, why not believe it? Continue to believe that who you are is so important to the world today, to every person that's out there. Who you are is important, what God is trying to do. Isn't that cool? You're already in the impossible. Come on, man. You've been given health and healing. Is that cool? Yeah, well, it's impossible. This thing that I got, No man can heal it or whatever. There's a 99.9% that I'm on my way out of here. Shut up. Amen? You can say that. You can say that. Everybody say, shut up. Come on, man. Hallelujah. It is your mindset that God's after. How many know that? Because when you begin to operate in the mindset that God has for you, great things are going to happen. Because you begin to operate the way God has you, has created you to operate. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You have been given life, not death. The Bible says it this way, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says it this way, that Jesus died for the sins of the what?
World.
For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him would have what? What's it called? Everlasting life. When does that start? Does that start when you kick the bucket and take off? That is not where it starts. When you give your heart to the Lord, everlasting life is connected to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Eternal life. Right now. Right now. Can I tell you, that's a mindset. You've got to figure it out. This is what God is saying. That you have eternal life. A lot of us, our problem is, now listen, this is going to get crazy on you. Our problem is we are so connected to death. We won't let go of it. So when sickness comes upon you, you say, well, it's just the way it is. It's just life. It's not life. Eternal life is eternal life. Some of you look at me, oh boy. He's crazy. I'm going to say something to you. Isaiah, in chapter 30, God says this, I am going to disannul your agreement with death. You see, mankind has walked in an agreement with death ever since Adam and Eve came out of the garden and they began to die. They have walked and walked and walked, and it is so ingrained within us that when anybody says anything that there's a possibility that you don't have to die, it's so ingrained in us that we say, uh-uh, sorry. Everybody dies. I was doing a eulogy for a friend of mine that had passed away up at the mine. And I wrote down in that eulogy, it said this. Death is just a part of life. I wrote that down. And the Holy Spirit told me, immediately. It wasn't while I was walking the next day or 2 weeks later. Immediately, right after I wrote it down, he said, scripture and verse for that, Henry. Where's that at? I don't have a scripture and verse for that. Exactly. Get it off of there. Life, this is the Lord, is as opposite of death as light is to darkness. It's as opposite hot as to cold. It's as opposite. It is life has nothing to do with death, and death has nothing to do with life. How many say amen to that? Read Romans chapter 6 one more time. You're going to hear how he says, we have died. Galatians says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. I died. The Bible says, it's given unto men once to die, right? And then judgment. Is that what the Bible says? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. Your death was when you believed in Jesus, you died on a cross. Your sins became his, and his righteousness became yours. Come on, man. It's a mindset. It really is a mindset. But I wasn't taught like that, Henry, yeah? Don't believe me. go to the Word of God. Start looking around. Because I will tell you that we are getting close. And I believe that God is saying there are things that my children are believing that I need to reseed. Reseeding the body of Christ is cool. How many say amen to that? How many know that God is going to expose things here towards the last that he's never had exposed before? That's just the way, that's just who he is. Ooh, come on, man. You got to realize something. You got to realize something. That you are right now in eternal life. You have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can go into the heaven of heavens right now as you're in your prayer closet. And you're in front of the Father. It's crazy. My feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, is what David said. I rejoice to go to the house of the Lord, and my feet will stand within your gates. See, you've been given access. Like I've told you before, we are under an open heaven. God has removed every barrier for you to come in and allow him to speak to your heart. Is that cool? That's not even my message this morning. Hallelujah. I didn't expect to go to there. Hallelujah. Peter began to sink. Folks, faith is an attitude of the heart. Is that right? When you believe God, guard your heart. Amen? Don't let anything remove. See, Jesus was coming after Peter. Man, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Doubt is an enemy. How many know that? For in the kingdom of God, doubt is an enemy. You've got to look at it and say, hey, man, this is doubt. And you know what? I'd rather not go there. I'll tell you what I will do. This is what God's word says to whatever your situation is. By his stripes, I've been healed. Period. Period. Hallelujah. Sometimes we go through things, is that right? How many know that? So as people of God, we know we go through things. And how many know that God is always using those things to lead us and to guide us so that we can hear him speaking? Do you know that? Do you know that the Bible says it's counted all joy when you go through all these diverse temptations? Because God is doing something in your life. He's teaching you and he's training you and he's showing you things. So he says, count it all joy. Well, how can I do that? Someone I love very dearly just passed away. How can I count that joy? Oh. The word of God just says, count it all joy. Amen? So you got to stand on what you know. You got to allow God to take you and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I've got no idea why it's happening, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to rejoice in this thing because I believe that you have told me, rejoice evermore. You've told me, in everything give thanks. So, Father, even though it hurts, and you know, Father, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give you thanks for these things. Isn't that crazy? Because your heart has to stay steadfast. If your heart is steadfast, if your heart is in concrete in the Word of God, it's going to direct your mind. It will. Your heart will direct your mind. Folks, we don't need our minds directing our hearts. Is that right? Because we got so many things. How many are scatterbrained here today? Anybody got scatterbrained? I'm going to tell you what, I'm scatterbrained all that. I'm driving down the road praying. Hey, look at that. A dead rabbit. Whatever. Takes me. I'm like, God. And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry, Lord, I was praying. Praise God. Sometimes we allow our hearts to sink or to faint. Amen? Sometimes it happens. This is what David said in Psalm 69, verse 14. He says, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. I see Peter in this. Lord, don't let me sink. Can I tell you, Peter was a fisherman. He could swim. We know he could swim because remember when Jesus later on was on the seashore after the crucifixion? He's on the seashore and they said, "If children," he tells them, "do you have any meat?" And they go, "Hey, no." And one of them said, "Hey, it's the Lord." And Peter took off his coat and poof, into water. We know he could swim. Is that right? We know it. But yet, he had just started to sink. Think about this. He just started to sink. And he goes, "God, Jesus, save me." Yeah, the waters were moving around. But can I tell you that people that know how to swim can still, in waves, can still handle themselves? How many know that? I don't know that because I don't know how to swim. Very good. But the people that do know how to swim can handle themselves in the waves. What was going on? Can I tell you, when you break out, listen, just think about this. When you break out of the spiritual mindset and go back into the natural mindset, things get scary. No matter what. Can I tell you that? That's why God wants us in the spiritual mindset. That's why he says, "Be led by my spirit." Because when we break out of the spiritual mindset, things get scary on us. How many say amen to that? You start thinking, "Oh man, nobody likes me. Oh man, they're gonna, I mean, whatever." So Peter might have said this, "Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink." And the last part of it says, "Out of deep waters, in the deep waters." I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't want your heart sinking every time something happens. Can I say that to you? Every time something happens, our hearts will sink. Is that right? God doesn't want that happening to you. Trust him. That's cool. Just trust him. Sometimes we're not aware that we're fainting or sinking. Can I say that to you? Sometimes we don't know that we're fainting. We're not aware that we're fainting. But let me give you just a couple of examples. These aren't all of them, because if I was to stay up last night trying to think, well, I would lose the anointing. Because I don't like thinking in this area. But let me put down a few things where people might be fainting in their heart or might be sinking in their heart, and they don't even realize it. Sometimes you're not aware that you have a misplaced priority. The kingdom of God isn't the first priority in your life. That is something to be aware of, that if the kingdom's not the first priority in your life, it could be that your heart is beginning to sink. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You're on the computer or your cell phone, and your usage has gone skyrocketed, and your time in praying and in the reading of the word has become a dive bomber. Just... you're not praying like you used to. You're not reading the word like you used to. When somebody's suffering, you're not going over and saying, "Hey, let me pray for you," like you used to. Where before it was a joy. You guys know what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we get into that mode where I don't care what's happening out there. You might as well say it. If you're in this mode, if you're in a sinking mode, because we need God to pick us up, amen? Hallelujah. You might be murmuring and complaining and blaming others, or you might have, some of you might not get this, a big old moment. Does anybody know what a big old moment is? It's basically when I got in a fight with a guy over a big old. I lost all my Christianity. No, I didn't. I mean, it wasn't a pretty sight. I got a little excited. I got a little ticked off. I got a little mouthy. Anybody ever? No? Nobody here. Nobody here. Praise God. You guys are awesome. I got a little mouthy and walked out of there, and the Holy Spirit, "Good job, Hank." I could hear my daughter talking to me then. "Good job, Hank." I said, "Oh, man." Might have a big old moment. Could it be that my heart was in a failing mode, or in a and I said, we got to be careful with those. You got to understand yourself. Check yourself. The Bible says, make sure you're in the faith. Is that what the Word of God says? Check yourself. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says this. This is how, one of the ways you can check yourself. It says this. You have borne, and The Lord was reproving one of the churches, and you've borne and has patient for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your what? Your first love. Do you remember your first love? Remember how exciting it was? When you came to Jesus and you said, man, it's cool, man. And you're telling everybody. You remember that? How many of you remember that? When you gave your heart to Jesus, you were telling everybody, Jesus saves. I remember my brother John over here. I remember one day I was at my father-in-law's house and was talking about the Lord. And I was talking to all the family. I had just gotten saved. And we were up there and I'm talking, and the things I was saying, I don't even remember. It's like I am here. I don't remember. Anyway, he follows me over to there's a water tank. And do you remember this, John? And he tells me, how do I do what you do? How do I get that? And you know what I said? I didn't know. I was brand new. I read the Bible. I did not know how to respond to that. But I learned. I learned how to talk to people about Jesus. I learned to watch for certain characteristics when somebody's talking, to be able to respond in a loving way and yet in a guiding way. How many do that? And when you're talking to somebody, you look for a place to respond in a loving way, not a guiding way. Not you're going to hell is not a good way to talk to people. Is that right? Jesus died for you, man. If you don't accept him, you're going to hell tomorrow. You can scare the hell out of him. Is that right? No, God gives us the Holy Spirit to be gentlemanly and to lead and to guide and to help and to love. Amen. Hallelujah. Having your first love was just, I just remember being a nut going around telling people about Jesus. My wife was looking at me like I was crazy. Our power verse for today is John chapter 14 verse 1. It says this: let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he goes to the cross. He knows they're going to see some things. It's going to get really ugly now. And he is saying, do not let your heart be troubled. You're going to see some things. Your mind's going to go nuts. But don't let your heart release the things that I've given you. Don't let them. Believe in God. If you believe in God, believe also in me. What I've talked to you about, what I've showed you, it is absolutely the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life is what Jesus told them. Hold on to those things, guys. Please, hold on to them. And isn't it cool how Jesus would pour into his disciples just for that? And he'd say that. Don't let your heart be troubled. And he's saying the same thing to us. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. Talk to him. Hallelujah. I want to take you back to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Just want to bring you back to that. It says, but as one was felling the beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I'm sorry, I lost my mic. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. Yeah, I brought my stick. Got it from out the side of the building, still dirty. And he cut down a stick, and he cast it in there. Poof, tossed the stick into that water, and it made the iron float. I'm going to take you to another one about Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 25. It says this: when they came to Marah, this is when Moses was they just crossed the Red Sea. They were headed towards the Promised Land, and they were getting thirsty. And it says, and they came to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. What does Marah mean? Bitter and bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Come on, leader. Is that right? We need something to drink. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. And there He made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them. God showed them that even with bitter water, God can make them sweet. The Amplified says that Moses cut a branch of a tree. A branch. Hallelujah. He cut a branch. Tossed it in the water and it was done. Can I tell you that we have a branch? Do you guys know that? You guys know the Word of God tells us about our branch. How many know that? Jesus is the branch. Do you know that? That stick that was thrown into that water, the bitter waters, that stick was a type of Jesus. When Elijah cut a stick and tossed it in the water to find that head on that axe, it was a type of Jesus. Let me show you this in the scriptures real quick. Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 and 2 says this. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Who's he talking about right here? Talking about Jesus. Is that right? There shall come forth out of the stem of Jesse. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 23 verses 5 and 6 says this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Amen. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 12 and 13. Word of God says this. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. What's it talking about, between them both? The both he's talking about, he shall sit and rule, and then the other part is he shall be a priest. He's a ruler and a priest. Does that sound like you? You are a king and a priest, and his peace shall rule. Folks, I'm giving you some good stuff here this morning. It is the branch. It is Jesus. Next time you get a problem, throw the branch at it. Come on, man. I've got a branch. Hallelujah. I don't care what that sickness says. I've got a branch. Hallelujah. I don't. You know what? I got a bill. Yeah, you know, I got a branch. Oh, watch out. Sorry. I've got a branch. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You've got a branch, and his name is Jesus. You're not in this by yourself. When you listen to me, when you go to your medicine cabinet, you get sick, you go to your medicine cabinet, you're denying the branch that you've got. Do you hear me? He died for that. He is the answer to everything that you go through, because he is the one that has set you up for it. That's a weird thought, but I'm going to tell you something. It's who he is. His will is greater than anything on the earth, and he's going to have his will. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I mean, you know what? I'm going to throw this out. Yeah, just kidding. Praise God. When he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, guess what? It's going to happen, folks. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, God's will is going to be done in the earth. I've got one more thing, because his will is so important. And 2 weeks ago, I've been talking about the will of God and what God is trying to do and what he's trying to say to us, that if you will connect with his will, he's okay with you with a good, and the, like it says in Romans chapter 12, he is good with your good and you're acceptable, but what he wants to take you into is his perfect will. Can I say that to you? He's trying to get his perfect will to you. But you got to listen for him. You got to say, God, what is it that you want? I'm going to take you to Ezekiel, and you all remember, you guys all remember where it talks about the waters that came out from under the threshold of in the sanctuary. Out of the threshold, the waters ran out. Ezekiel is with an angel, and he says, and there was a stream, and we crossed it, and the water was to the ankles, okay? And he says, and when we came back, we crossed it again, and the water was to the knees. And then he said, and then we crossed it again. Why they were crossing it so many times? The angel was showing them something, and I believe he's showing us something. He said, I crossed it again, and the water was to my waist. And then they went back to the river again, and this is what he says. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. And then he says this, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Everybody say amen. That's a good side of the river. See, this is the River Jordan. He'd taken him back and forth and across, but now he's brought him to this river that he says he couldn't pass over, couldn't walk through it. He was going to have to swim through it if he wanted to go across. Is that correct? How many of you know that a river is at that stage, it will take you? Is that right? You probably got no control over this. I remember my son was telling me one time that he got in a kayak. And my son fits a little tightly in a kayak. Is that okay if I say that? Sorry. And he's going to get after me for saying that. But he fits a little tightly. But he said it rolled over, and he couldn't get it to flip back. And it scared him really, really bad. But he did. He's okay. But when you're in a river that is taking you, just about, you just got to almost let yourself go with it until you can get close enough to the side and get out. Remember? How many, was it the flood of 81 or 83? Dave?
83.
83. The flood of 83. I was watching the mountains from here in Green Valley. I was working at a garage, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, "Ooh, it's really raining up there. It's raining a lot. It was raining and raining and raining." And finally, my boss told me, he said, "You know what? You probably better go home, man. You got washes to cross." Yeah. So I went down to where we would cross down towards Amado. There's no way. The river was running too hard. So I decided to come back all the way up here, go up Continental Road. There was what we call the Power Line Road. I went down that Power Line Road, and I came to a stream. And I had a big four-wheel drive truck. I went ahead and put in four-wheel drive. And when I went where the road was, when I went to go into that stream, that truck dropped down into that water. And man, I put it in reverse right away, and it actually pulled itself out really good. But I said, "Well, I can't go home." I said, "But I'm going home. Rosie's by herself." How many know that's not good?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Rosie needs her husband. Yeah. Rosie needs me to come home. So I parked my truck on a hill, and I walked up to where it looked like I could cross. And you could not really see very well. The clouds were so low, and water was just constantly coming down. So I started going, walking to what I thought was south, and it was south. I was walking south, and I came to where I could see the water running for quite a ways. I mean, probably from me to the outside pillars out there. I could see water running, and it was wide. So I said, I can just wade through that. Well, it was a lot stronger than what I thought it was. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It might have looked like it was, but there was something underneath that water that, man, next thing I know, I'm on my back, and I'm grabbing for trees trying to, man, I could just picture my torso face down by the bridge. I mean, you know that you know that hill down there in Valencia? Just before, in the Papago, right after Papago Road, and then there's a hill right there on the side, and you can see the river come under the bridge. You guys have all seen that. I could picture myself being found right there. and I'm going from tree to tree. Oh, man, I could not believe that water. But obviously, I got home. Rosie opened the door, and she says, "Where have you been? You look like a drowned rat." So those waters, I mean, this water, I mean, sometimes the water is going to take you. And let me just say to you about the will of God. When it says there was waters to swim in, see, it's easy to get in waters that you've got control. Waters down at your ankles, man, you can handle that. Waters at your knees, you can handle that. Waist deep waters is pretty good, but when it's running, and you know you can't do anything but swim, you're gonna have to commit yourself to the waters and let the waters take you, so that you can get to the other side if you have to. But you'll have to commit yourself. And see, that's the same with the will of God. The will of God will take you if you'll let it. It will take you, but it'll take you to where He has the things He has for you, and He's gonna give you great things. Because it's His will for you. Isn't that cool? It's God's will. Not your will. God's will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. When that begins to happen in the body of Christ, we're going to see some amazing things. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I just want to ask you this morning. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to. Because you know, God knows your heart. You know if you are dealing with a sinking heart. You know if you're dealing with a fainting heart, a heart that man, I just can't get excited about the things of God anymore. You know. You know. And I'm going to ask God that He would touch every heart here and allow Him to do what He would want to do in your heart this morning. Is that okay? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Lord, touch my heart. Say that to the Lord.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Are you serious with that word?
Yes.
Lord, touch my heart. Let's pray. Father, we ask You this morning. Lord, we come before You, Father. God, You know our hearts, Father. Lord, I'm asking You that You would touch my brothers and my sisters. Father, we love them. We care for them, Father. And Lord, there might be some that won't tell us that they've got a sinking heart, or they've got a heart, Father God, that's fainting. But God, You know. So Father, this morning, I'm just asking You, Lord, touch my brothers, touch my sisters. Lord, renew a great spirit with them, renew a right spirit with them now, Father. Father, I come against, in the name of Jesus, anything that is contrary to Your strengthening and building of the body of Christ. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I speak to the body of Christ this morning. Receive the word of the Lord. Receive the joy of the Lord. Receive all the good things that my Father has for you today. Today. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hug somebody's neck and tell them, hey, thank you for coming to the church this morning. Hallelujah. If you want to worship with the worship team for a little bit, let's worship. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.